Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. You're listening to Mark My Words here on the Life Coach Radio Network. And today is April 27th. I'm Mark Shaw, broadcasting live from New York City. I'm a certified life coach and business coach, and twice per month I host Mark My Words, which is a life coaching-oriented show where I interview various people with inspiring life stories of overcoming adversity. And I also speak with authors of great coaching-related books and programs, as well as many others who have great things to say. So tune in the first and third Sunday of every month. And welcome to tonight's episode of Mark My Words. Tomorrow is actually my birthday, and birthdays are always an opportunity to look at growth. Looking at how much I've grown in the past year is always exciting. What have I accomplished? What's next for me? What am I thankful for? And one area of growth that's particularly important to me, and for many of my listeners tonight, is the growth of our businesses. When I decided to become a life coach, I remember worrying that even though I knew I'd be a good coach, I wasn't sure I'd be able to build a business doing it. I was never that guy. And whenever people would talk about things like scaling a business, bottom line, revenue growth, and all those business guy terms, it was Greek to me. I would just tune out, fade out, become blurry-eyed, and just want to, like, you know, pass out. It just wasn't for me, and it wasn't me. And when I was out to dinner one night with two of my instructors in my coach training program at IPEC Coaching, and I was discussing with them my feelings of being stuck on this building of the business and marketing myself thing, and just the word marketing just turned me off. So one of my instructors asked me, well, what does marketing mean to you? So I told her, I've always associated marketing with two types of people, Harvard MBAs and sleazy used car salesmen, neither of which I identified with being. So she laughed, and she said, well, if the word marketing turns you off, don't call it marketing. And one of the things that I hear about you is that you enjoy promoting yourself as a coach and talking about what you do, right? And I said, well, certainly, I love doing that. She goes, well, that's what it is, so just call it that. Don't call it marketing. And it was like, ah, the angels began singing and floating around my head. I had an aha moment. I was like, okay, maybe I can do this. So since then, I created my coaching business, and I actually love promoting it as much as I enjoy coaching my clients on their business goals, their relationships, their happiness, their confidence, and any of the other results that I partner with them to achieve. And I've learned a couple of things, and that learning has grown more and more since I began as an instructor at IPEC teaching coaching and teaching some of the basics of marketing a coaching business. More and more, I began to realize that there were two sets of skills necessary in creating and running a business. First, there's a set of technical skills in the area of expertise that you have, which in my case is coaching. And then there's the set of business building skills that are necessary for building and growing a business of any type, whether you're selling handbags, coaching, haircuts, sporting goods, photography services, massage services, textbooks, or anything else that you're in business to do. Most of us don't know how to do that. We're experts in the thing that we're selling, but when it comes to running the business to sell it, most of us don't have the training, the know-how to do it, and we make it up as we go along, reinventing the wheel, growing slowly, if at all, and really struggling to make it work. So I know that many of my listeners are small business owners of one type or another, mostly coaches, who have the ability to connect with and coach their clients in beautiful, passionate ways, yet who might struggle with the business building piece of their coaching businesses. Others are family and friends who own small businesses, and still others are people I haven't even met yet who still have these same struggles. So I wanted a way to be able to provide some value through my Mark My Words radio show to all of these people. So the universe brought me to tonight's guest, Mr. Evan Horowitz. Evan is one of those Harvard MBAs who I previously said is the type of person I associated with marketing and business building. I'm happy to say that he's not the sleazy used car salesman. No offense to any used car salesman out there. Quite the opposite. Evan is actually a mild-mannered, unassuming, smart guy who really cares about helping people learn how to run their businesses better so they can earn more money doing what they love. I met Evan when I attended a workshop that he gave a few weeks ago and decided I needed to have him on my show and share him with all of you. So here he is tonight to speak with us about how to run and grow your own business more effectively by, as he calls it, learning to think like a CEO. So welcome, Evan.
Thank you, Mark. It's great to be here.
Well, it's great to have you here, and I'm hoping that you're going to just blow it out of the water with everybody, and particularly all of my students that are listening and are going to be ready to just hop on building and growing their businesses the way I know that they all dream about, as well as everyone else out there.
That's my goal as well.
Cool. Great. And knowing you, I think that that's probably a high likelihood. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so what I do is I work with successful small business owners and I help grow their businesses much faster than ever before. All my clients have a dream that's bigger than their own business experience. And what I do is I bring my experience. I have a Harvard MBA, as you said, and spent 10 years running businesses as big as $100 million global businesses. And I use that background to help successful small business owners become a smarter CEO so they can grow their businesses faster with less stress than ever before. So, you know, I work with people who are amazing at what they do, and they've built a successful business around that. But as you said, they're not business people, and they're winging it on the business side of things. And I find that that's usually stressful. Time is short. Cash flow is unpredictable. And what I do is I teach people the business skills that they need so that they can become a savvier manager of their business and grow it a lot faster.
Great. So you started your career working for big companies, and it sounds like the principles are pretty much the same between the two, whether it's a super-duper large company or even a small entrepreneurial business. Am I correct about that?
Yeah, I mean, they're very similar. The key difference being that in a big company, you have a lot of different people wearing each one of the different hats. And, of course, in a small business, the business owner is wearing a lot of different hats. But I think that's what also makes it fun.
Great. So you started your career in big companies. How did you get into working with small businesses? I know that you told a lovely story about helping your aunt with her business. You told that story when I attended your workshop. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. As you said, I spent the first part of my career running big businesses for big global companies. And during that time, my Aunt Sandy opened a clothing boutique in downtown Seattle. And my Aunt Sandy's a very entrepreneurial person. She's always done her own thing. She's been a jeweler and then a sculptor. And when she was in her 60s, she decided she wanted to open her own store. And so she did. And while Aunt Sandy is amazing at fashion and always gets compliments on her clothes, wanted to share that with people, she'd never run a business as big as this store. You know, and all of a sudden she was managing hundreds of thousands of dollars of cash flow. She had a big team of people working for her. And I could tell she was a little overwhelmed. So I just started giving Aunt Sandy some advice, and it turned out it was really helpful for her, and it was fun for me. You know, as we worked together, I got to see her become a more sophisticated business person, feeling more confident, making better decisions, and then quickly making more money. After the first year that I helped her, her store sales went up 50%, and her profit doubled. And it was through that experience that I realized that I had a hidden talent. You know, a lot of the skills that I developed both at Harvard and at big companies, these were skills that Aunt Sandy didn't have access to. And at the same time, they're really powerful for her. And that's what gave me the idea. You know, I thought it was really cool to be able to help her be smarter and more successful. And I wanted to bring that, to share that with more people, because what I found is there's so many people like Aunt Sandy who, while they're amazing at their core skill, are struggling on the business side of things. And so I started my own business to help people make that transition.
Wow, that's great. So what would you say lights you up the most about the work that you do, Evan?
You know, what lights me up the most is that all of my clients are so passionate and committed to their businesses. And, you know, they're fine busting their butt on their business. They come to me and they say, you know, I'm running a marathon and I'm cool with that, but what I want is some help and guidance and what's the smartest direction to go to get to my goals in the fastest way possible. And what I love is when, after we work together, I see their businesses really start to take off. Because all my clients, well, most of them have been in business for years, they still haven't achieved the level of success that they dream about, whether that's, you know, the amount of money they want to make, the number of people they want to reach. And what I find is, you know, when I've been working with someone for 6 to 12 months, they're usually getting at least 50% growth in their business. And that is just such an exciting thing for them and for me to be a part of. And it means that they're reaching more people and taking more money home to their family. And I just feel so fortunate to be a part of that.
That's great. That's quite a return on investment, too, I imagine.
I think so, yes.
Great. Very cool. By the way, we'll be taking your calls throughout the show. So if you have a call, if you have a question that you'd like to call in with for me or for Evan, you can give us a call at 646-716-9397. That's 646-716-9397. So we'll be taking your calls live here later on the show. So Evan, one of the things that you say in your work, in your ebook, and you've talked about this in your workshops, is that the biggest challenge that facing business owners is their need to acquire the CEO toolkit. So tell me a little bit more about that and what that means. What's the CEO toolkit that so many business owners are missing?
Yeah, well, you know, I think you sort of alluded to it earlier, Mark, when you talked about how people start a business because they're really good at their technical skill set, whether that's coaching or architecture or whatever it is. But it's a very, you know, what people tend to find is they've done that, then they want to go start their own thing, and while their technical skill set is exactly what they need to make their customers happy, it's not nearly enough to run a successful business. There's all these other questions and challenges that you find when you're a business owner that are outside of what you got trained on in school. You know, it's questions like, well, how do you bring more business in the door? How do you understand and manage your finances? How do you grow and scale a team? You know, these are things that even if you're a doctor and you spent 10-plus years in school, they probably didn't teach you a single class about that. And so a lot of business owners, I think, find themselves all of a sudden winging it or reinventing the wheel. And, you know, it doesn't need to be that way. The wheel has already been invented. And the CEO toolkit that I like to talk about is one that is very learnable. But it's just a question of making it a priority so that you can transition from being what they call just an expert to also being a CEO.
So people can learn those elements without having to go to get an MBA to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, MBAs are great, but definitely not required. You know, I think there's a lot of examples, some of them very famous, of successful people who started their businesses as experts and then became a really successful CEO, usually without an MBA. You know, Bill Gates is an example. He started Microsoft, you know, in the 80s and was at the very beginning. He was writing the code. He wrote the code for the first product. Clearly, you know, the point was no longer writing code. He went out and learned how to become a CEO. Martha Stewart, very talented interior designer, and over time learned how to be a CEO and is now managing a whole staff of interior designers. Anna Wintour, Oprah, Michael Bloomberg, these are all people who you know, started their businesses as experts and learned to be a CEO. So, you know, what I love to tell people is it's not hard. It's very doable. It just has to be a priority.
So one thing that comes up for me as you say that is, do people often fear sort of losing touch with their craft when they do that? It's, you know, it's kind of like, I mean, in my field with coaches, right, if they're going to do that, scale their business and stuff, and they're actually seeing fewer one-on-one clients and doing coaching, or if, you know, Martha Stewart, is she doing less designing and what she's doing? Bill Gates, he loved writing code and creating stuff. He's doing less of that. How do people deal with the fear of doing less of the thing they love while they get into more of running the business doing the thing they love?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I don't think there's one answer. I think it's so dependent on what the individual wants to do, what their vision is. You know, and I meet people who have really the whole spectrum of visions, from people who really, they just want to be a successful solopreneur, and if they could just have a full client load and pay the bills that way, that would be exactly what they want. And there's other people that I meet who, you know, they don't want that. They want to have a team of 5, 10, 100 people working for them, and they really want to be able to grow and scale their impact in that way. What I would say is that either way, it's important to learn the CEO toolkit, and you just apply it in different ways. You know, for the person who wants to have a very full coaching practice and they don't want to expand beyond that, it's still going to be an important thing about how do you get out there and market? How do you have a constantly full pipeline of new clients? And you know, if you don't learn that, you're not going to be able to make it as a coach, because you won't be able to pay the bills and you won't be able to keep the lights on. So that's sort of, you know, the minimum amount of CEO toolkit that you need. And of course, if you want to grow bigger, then you can continue to expand and deepen your skills over time.
Great. So you really get to pick and choose from the toolkit of what's going to help you towards whatever your specific goal is with your business.
Yeah, exactly. There's no one-size-fits-all formula, and that's something that I love about my work now. You know, compared to when I worked for big companies and it's all just about increasing profit forever. Now, you know, my first question when I meet the business owner is, what's your goal? What's your vision? And often it's not about just more money, although that can certainly be a part of it, but they have a specific vision that they want to bring to life, and I love helping people do that.
Yeah, great, which is so aligned with what I do because, you know, I know that, and I always say this to the students in the coaching program at IPEC, is that, you know, if you don't learn some of the basics about marketing your business, what's going to happen is you have this career idea that's probably something that you feel is a calling, not just a job, and then you can't grow it enough, so you end up taking a part-time job to pay the bills. The part-time job ends up becoming more and more hours because you need to work 4 hours to pay those bills. Then you have less and less time doing this thing that you set out that you love to do, and eventually you end up not being able to do it at all. You know, so it's like you could be a great coach, you could be a great expert in whatever, but it doesn't do anybody any good if you can't find any clients to serve or customers to serve.
Exactly. It has to be sustainable.
Yep, absolutely. Great. I think that's the piece that people, depending on the business that they're in, you know, often the piece that they often have trouble with, particularly in holistic businesses like coaching or massage therapists, you know, or people who are in what I've heard referred to as heart-based businesses, where it's all about helping people and partnering with people, and it's sort of the warm, fuzzy stuff. I think it's even harder for folks in those kinds of businesses to see how necessary these concepts can be. So what would you say are the biggest mistakes that experts are making that a CEO typically would not make when it comes to growing and scaling their business?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, there's quite a few. And what I find is that, in general, what happens is being an expert, the more of an expert you are, actually you tend to get in your own way. And so in some weird ways, and I'll explain as we talk through this during the show, I think that your expertise is a liability when it comes to growing the business. And there's four major ways that happens. One is about the scope of the services that you're offering. Two is about how you market and talk about your business. Three is how you think about the finances of the business. And four is thinking about a team and how to grow a team if that's a goal of yours. In all of these four areas, being an expert actually can get in the way of the growth that you want to see.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, so how would you feel if we kind of dive in a little bit of detail on those four things? Because I think those are really important.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Great. So the first one, and again, those who are out there who are coaching students have heard us talk about this ad nauseum, which is about, we refer to it as choosing a niche or a niche, depending on what part of the world you're from. And I have folks from different parts of the world who will relate to one or the other of those two pronunciations. But of finding a niche, finding an area of expertise, and serving a target market. And that's what you're talking about with the scope of their businesses. So starting with that one, the scope of their business, what's the secret to fixing that mistake, that struggle?
Yeah. Well, let me start with the struggle first. And I think the struggle comes from that place of passion that you mentioned that so many business owners start their business with, which is that they have a special ability to help lots of different types of people. I think a lot of coaches can relate to this. You know, maybe they're just really good people person, and they're great at helping people in many different ways. And so all of a sudden they find that their coaching practice is sort of growing organically as they're doing maybe some career coaching and some life coaching, and now all of a sudden someone asks to help with their relationship, and so they're doing relationship coaching. And, you know, they're really successful at all these areas because they do have that skill set. But the problem is that it's really hard to market a practice like that. You know, I like to give the example of I met this woman who's a vitamin salesman once when I was out networking, and she says, you know, I'm selling vitamins. Everybody is an ideal client for me, so send them to me. And, you know, everyone in the room is scratching their head because it's not like, what are you going to do, get out your whole Rolodex and send her your whole contact list? You know, it's not a good way to help people help you. And when someone comes to her website, it's really unclear, like, is this for me? Is it not for me? You know, in contrast that with, I met a different vitamin salesperson who, when I met her, she said, I sell vitamins, and I specialize in pregnant women and helping them get all of the nutrients that they need so that their pregnancy goes really, really smoothly. And there were several people in the room that when they heard that, they thought of people that they know who are pregnant women and introduced them to her. So it's this weird paradox where, you know, there's an understandable fear. Well, I don't want to narrow my niche because, you know, I don't want to cut off any potential people I can help. But at the same time, when you do narrow it, it makes it so much easier for people to find you and for when people find you to know that they're in the right place. And so, ironically, the pregnant woman vitamin salesperson was getting a lot more clients and a lot more new business than the I can help anybody vitamin salesperson.
You know, it's interesting. It makes so much sense because as you're talking about it, what's coming to mind is like doing a Google search. The more specific your search terms, the better the search results you get, right? So it's like a parallel to that. The more specific your marketing terms, because it's kind of like you're searching for clients, right? So you have to get specific about your search so that you can find them / they can find you, right? But it's also the same thing about getting a job. You know, you on your resume, you have to be really specific about what kind of job you're looking for. How many people go out looking for a job and like, well, I'll pretty much take anything in the areas of this, or I could also do that. I also have experience doing that. And then nothing comes their way, and they wonder why, since they're so talented in so many different areas. And it's you even need to niche on your resume when you're doing a job search. So it makes sense that this would follow the same sort of principle.
Yeah, and, you know, I think there's another layer, too. It's not just in terms of the search and finding people, but in terms of giving people the confidence that you can help them. When you specialize and the more focused you are, the more confidence you communicate to a potential client that, yes, you can solve their exact type of problem. You know, and just to give you an example, let's say you injure your shoulder and you need to have a doctor look at it. Would you rather go to a generalist who helps people with everything from the flu to, you know, tonsillitis and shoulders, or would you rather go to a shoulder expert? You know, I'd rather go to the shoulder expert because I have confidence that this doctor is really going to understand the ins and outs of shoulders and be able to help me for sure.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And also, there's you only have a limited budget of marketing dollars, right? So if you're going to be marketing to people, you can't spread those far and wide. I know I always tell my students that the Grand Canyon didn't occur because the Colorado River spread itself far and wide. It occurred because the Colorado River dug deeper and deeper and deeper into one spot, you know, and that's kind of what we have to do with our marketing. And then you could show up in front of the same people again and again and again so they get to know who you are. If you spread far and wide, you can't show up as many times in front of any of those people.
Absolutely. And the last thing that I would add about that, just because I know there's a lot of fear about narrowing your niche and what about all those other people I want to serve, is I'm not saying that you can't help anybody else outside of the niche that you define. Not at all. Of course, if somebody comes and you want to help them, by all means. It's really what we're talking about is narrowing your marketing message so that when you're going out into the world, you're finding a lot more people in a more effective way. It doesn't mean you have to narrow your practice, just your marketing message.
Yeah, great. That's really, really important. And it's funny, I'm just kind of free associating here. One of the things that I think about, too, when I think about the whole concept of, you know, showing up again and again in front of the same people, and just, you know, living here in New York, there are certain names that of people that run certain businesses that everybody knows who they are, even if they've never been to them. If you ask any New Yorker, for example, who Dr. Zitzmore is, everybody knows that he's – well, actually, you know what's funny? Anybody out there who lives in New York, if you can call in and tell us who Dr. Zitzmore is, we'd love to hear from you. We'll make it a little contest. I'll give everybody a second one as well. There's also Dan Smith. Who is Dan Smith? Again, this is just for New Yorkers or people who spend a lot of time in New York. And those two names should ring a bell because you've probably seen their stuff around. So we'll see if anybody calls in. If there are any guests in the chat room, by the way, you can also type in your answer, and we'll see how many people get that. So great. Great. So let's move to the second mistake that experts are making, and that's holding back their marketing. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so the second big mistake that people make when they're experts is that they talk about their expertise all the time, and that's how they market their business. And you might say, well, that's a mistake. Well, the thing is, what people want to buy is not your expertise. People want to buy the results you can offer them. And so what tends to happen is when we're experts, we love going out and talking about how much of an expert we are. You know, we talk about all of the techniques that we have, all the skills, all the certifications that we do, all the different special processes that we can help people with. And we also go to expert conferences, and we love to geek out and talk with other experts about all these different technical expert things. And the problem is when you talk to your potential clients about that, all they get from that is, okay, cool, I can tell you're an expert, and I'll call you if I need you. What a CEO does is a very different approach, and they talk about the results that they can get for their client. What a CEO does is they recognize that it's not all about them, it's actually all about their customer. And what they do is they show how they can solve their client's problems. And what I like to say is that ultimately people don't buy from us because of us. They buy the results that we're offering. So let me just give an example of that and go back to the doctors that we were just talking about. You know, you have the shoulder injury and you're interviewing two different doctors, let's say. And the first doctor says, well, I graduated top of my class from medical school and I have been in practice for 30 years. And you say, okay, yeah, that's pretty good credentials. And then you go to the second doctor, and what she says is, I have a 99% success rate with your exact type of shoulder injury. Well, who are you going
to
buy from?
I know who I'm going to.
Yeah, of course, because ultimately you don't care about the doctor or their credentials or anything. You want to get the results. Yeah. And I think that's the best way to get clients to understand what you're offering.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. A doctor once said to me, I was having this kind of conversation with, and a doctor said to me, you know what they call the student in med school who graduates last in his class? And the answer was, doctor. Right? So ultimately, you know, all of those extra things, obviously you want to know that somebody has the training and expertise, certainly. So, but barring that, all that extra stuff to spend what little time you have attracting a potential client, talking about all of that stuff, I hear you saying, is really time wasted. That stuff's assumed. They can find that stuff out. They really want to know what results can you get them. I've heard it talked about as, you know, potential customers and clients, whether it's for a product or a service, there's two islands. There's pain island and pleasure island. And the pain island is, you know, what don't you have and what are you experiencing right now that you're looking for a solution for? And pleasure island is all the wonderful things that you're going to have once you have what you want. And again, whether that's, you know, a certain kind of makeup, a certain wardrobe, more self-confidence or, you know, whatever. And what most people end up doing is they sell, instead of selling the benefits that are on Pleasure Island, they try to sell them the boat to get there. It's like, oh, well, I'm going to take you there in this kind of a boat, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and this is how I get you there. Instead of saying, here's what you are going to have when all is said and done, and here's the benefits that you'll receive from this. So that's what I hear you saying is what the CEO does, is the latter.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, just to give a concrete example, I work with a lot of people in the fitness business, and, you know, if you've ever hired a personal trainer, I remember when I hired one, he was, he definitely convinced me that he was an expert, you know, with all the certifications, and he threw out a lot of very technical terms to describe the type of customized fitness training we do, the hypertrophy and intervals and all this, and I was, you know, okay, I get that it's an expert, but what if the personal trainer had just said, hey, summer's coming up. I know you want to look good on the beach. We're going to get you there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because ultimately, that's why I was spending money. You know, I don't really want interval or hypertrophy training. I want to look good on the beach.
That's right.
Exactly. Give another
example. This is why before and after pictures are so helpful.
Oh, before and after pictures are great. I mean, that's the pain island and the pleasure island in photo form.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Great. Great. I just want to say that there is somebody out there who has called in. I don't know if you were calling to answer my contest question or not. So if you do call in, please push 1 so that I can pick you up and know that you're actually calling to say something or ask a question. So there is somebody on the line from a 901 area code. And so I don't know if you're calling just to listen to the show or if you want to ask or answer my question. So please push 1 if you have something that you'd like to say. Otherwise, continue to listen on your phone, because that is another way to listen to Mark My Words. So before I ask you my next question, Evan, what I want to do is just take a quick break and talk about the next few episodes of the different radio shows that we have here on the Life Coach Radio Network that are coming up later this week. So on May 6th, at 12 o'clock noon, is Fund to Fortune, Entrepreneur Startup Success with Coach Jeff. You can join the conversation with those who've created fun businesses and uncovered their fortunes in the process. Callers and guests share their inspiration, their businesses, and what makes it fabulous, the challenges and their obstacles, and what helps them persevere and prosper. So you can listen and learn as you go through the startup waters yourself. And then second, on Thursday at 2 o'clock, is Walk Your Talk with Leanne and Claudia Darcy. And basically, Leanne Parsons is a certified professional coach, and her specialization is working with adoptees and their families. And her heart is in helping adoptees and their families build bridges and not walls. Heirloom Coaching is her company, and it's the missing thread in the tapestry of adoption. And she helps her clients weave that tapestry back together and create a brand new family legacy of love for generations to come. So you can listen to her show coming up. She'll be joined this week by Corrigan Darcy, who's been writing a lot about life as a birth mother, adoptee rights, and the unethical adoption industry since 2005. So she's an expert on the topic of adoption. She's been on different news shows and magazine shows. So that should be a really exciting show to listen to. And then we've got on Tuesday at 12 noon here on the Life Coach Radio Network, we have the New You City. New You City, and that is New You City Chat is the full name of that show. And that is our usual Tuesday at 12 noon show. So, and that's with Danielle Mercurio, so please feel free to tune into that one as well. And then, of course, my next show coming up, the topic will be announced, and we're just adjusting the dates because we adjusted the date of this show. So that will either be next Sunday or the Sunday after. So just keep an eye on markmywordsradio.com for the date and topic of my next show. So here we are back again with Evan Horowitz talking about thinking like a CEO to build and grow your business a little bit better, or a lot better for that matter. And the number to call if you have a question is 646-716-9397. That's 646-716-9397. And I'm going to give the answers to the little quiz that I gave before, and that is Dr. Zitzmore is, of course, actually, I'm going to test you, Evan. Of course you know who Dr. Zitzmore is, don't you?
Yeah, he's on all the Subway ads. He's a dermatologist. He specializes
Absolutely.
In fixing people's skin.
Exactly, and everybody knows that. Every New Yorker knows that because you just see him again and again and again and again. So that's the whole thing about, you know, targeting your advertising. And what's funny was a friend of mine once said, well, isn't if he's a dermatologist, shouldn't his name be Zits Less, not Zits More? So so choose the name of your business wisely, and if your last name fits, use it. If not, well, maybe not. And the other one is, do you know who Dan Smith is?
Is he the author?
Nope. He'll actually teach you how to play guitar. So you see his...
Oh, I have seen his stuff, yes.
Yeah, right? Yes. See? And so you recognize it after I mentioned it, right? So he usually has his sign...
He teaches you how to play guitar. He's very consistent with his branding.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, and you even know what he looks like. A dark, curly-haired guy. And because his photo is always on his flyers, which are on every community bulletin board and every cafe and every restaurant that has one, everywhere in the city, as well as on telephone poles. Well, we don't have telephone poles in Manhattan, light posts. So, yeah. So when your name shows up again and again in front of the same people again and again, people know who you are, and that has monetary value. So that speaks back to our niching point or our niching point before about the value of narrowing your scope. So we're talking about the four mistakes that experts make that hold back their businesses. And so we talked about so far the first two. Let's talk about the third mistake, and that's around your finances. So tell us a little bit about that one and what the secret is to thinking like a CEO in that area.
Yeah, the third mistake is the finances, which and specifically it's letting your finances manage you or being reactive to your finances. Very common trend among experts, which is understandable. I mean, for most people, the dollars and cents, it's not your expertise, and that's not why you started the business. Maybe you're not even a numbers person. And what I find is, you know, most people who are running their business like an expert, they're praying there's enough money in the bank at the end of the month to pay their bills, and it's like, wow, amazing if there's extra money to pay yourself. And experts tend to be constantly unsure if they can afford to invest in their business. You know, maybe you thought about expanding the team, getting an assistant, getting an office or a bigger office. And it's really hard to answer those questions when you don't know how to manage your money. So what a CEO does is manages his finances or her finances proactively. And the CEO is always getting the vision and the plan out of their head and onto paper, or usually a spreadsheet, so that you can see exactly what it will take to grow into the business that you want. Get a sense of how much money you'll be able to make next month, how much money you'll make next quarter, and when you can afford the investments that you want to make in your business.
Mm-hmm. Great. And I think that's probably one of the most daunting things that that I think plagues at least the coaches that I teach. Except for those that have a business background. You know, we get some folks that come through that already have some business background or they've already built a business and they're very focused on that. But I think most of the people that come through, they're really, it's the furthest thing from their minds, planning financial growth. It's just like, really, how much am I going to charge per hour and you know, how many clients do I need? And it never quite goes beyond that. So what would you say would be maybe just the first little piece of advice you have for what should somebody begin thinking about when planning their finances for longer-term growth?
Yeah, good question. And it is daunting. You know, the good news is that what I'm talking about, it's actually really not hard, and it's all basic arithmetic that a fifth grader could do. It's just organizing in a way that might not be familiar to you. So the place to start is find somebody who is familiar with this and just ask them to show you how to make a basic business budget. It's not that different from making a home budget, honestly. You know, people who might be able to help, maybe a bookkeeper or accountant might be able to help with this, a friend who's, you know, savvy in business things, just somebody who's done it before who can show you. And again, it, you know, it's not hard. It's just a skill. It's just a little bit different skill to learn. It's really basic math. And what's amazing is once you do it and you learn how, which you can do in an hour, it's super empowering. You know, I've helped so many small business owners make a basic business budget. And when they do, all of a sudden it's like the clouds are parting and they can see what they're doing in their business so much more clearly. They all of a sudden have a sense of, you know, how much money will they make this month? and they have a sense of, can I afford to hire that assistant that I would love to get? All these answers come really easily once you make the plan.
Yeah, and I guess having a plan is really the key to success with anything. I mean, I know one of the things they say at Weight Watchers with regard to losing weight is if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So, you know, it's probably pretty much the same thing. You know, you're going to make a lot of financial mistakes if you don't really plan and forecast how this financial decision or that financial decision is going to affect your business down the road.
Yeah, true.
So, cool. And you also might miss an opportunity for revenue as well because you might be afraid to spend this or that, and then when you project it, you realize that the return on investment is going to be pretty huge. Like you talked about hiring an assistant, right? And, you know, I know I had to get through that for a bit before I hired mine. And because I'm like, you know, I'm not making the money that I feel like I want to make yet, so now I'm going to pay somebody else. But when you look at what you get back for that, I'm not spending my time doing stuff that, A, I'm not very good at, like, you know, invoicing and keeping track of receipts for taxes and all that stuff. I'm not spending my time doing that. I can spend my time coaching more people, which is really what I do best. That's how I make my highest and best contribution with my time here on the planet. And that's where everybody really benefits from me spending my time. You know, I fired myself as my accountant once I got that concept. I said, you know, I would never, any company that would hire me as their bookkeeper would be a moron, and they'd fire me in 2 weeks. So why am I keeping myself hired as my bookkeeper? And it's been great, you know, farming some of that stuff out to a virtual assistant who, you know, really in the long run doesn't cost me that much compared to what I get to not have to do.
I think that's a great example. Yeah, and bookkeeping is one of the easiest and first things that I recommend people to get help with, because what bookkeeping would take you 5 hours to do, you know, if you hire someone with experience, they can probably do in 30 minutes at 10, 15, 20 bucks an hour.
Yep, absolutely. And not even just with experience, but even somebody who just, they're kind of wired that way. It's what they live for. You know, there are some people that, they might not even have tons of experience or training in certain things, but they could pick it up quickly because they're just naturally wired that way. So I think that's also something else to pay attention to. And actually, if anybody's interested in learning a little bit more about that, let me give you a little business plug here. If you go to my website, there's an assessment that you can take free of charge that talks a little bit about the kinds of things you're wired for. And it's called the CVI, or the Core Values Index. So if you go to markshall.com and click on the Assessments tab, and then you can sign up to take the CVI for free. I even offer debriefs for that, and where you can learn more about how are you wired? What are the things that you tend to naturally find engaging? And what are the things that you want to get off your plate? So that could be really helpful for listeners. So great. So let's talk about the fourth big mistake that experts make, and that's regarding how they manage their team. So talk about this, and this is actually an area that is particularly near and dear to my heart with the kinds of coaching and training that I do in leadership development and delegation and things like that. So I'm particularly interested in this particular mistake. So let's hear what you have to say about that.
Great, yeah, and it definitely picks up well on what we were just talking about in terms of even expanding just to get a part-time virtual assistant for a few hours a week or a bookkeeper. What I find is that experts who are ready and interested in starting to grow their team or who are already managing a bunch of people are holding their business back from growth because they tend to strangle the business by wanting to still be the guy who's doing everything. Which makes sense, right? Again, you're the expert. You're probably the best person on your team to do a lot of the different things in your company. But as long as you insist on being the expert and being the person who's doing most of the work, your business can only grow as big as you can carry in your own two arms. And what a CEO does is they recognize this challenge and they want to grow their business beyond their two arms. And they use a strategy that I call delegate and elevate. And so what a CEO does is they consistently empower their team to do more and more of the work. That's the delegation part. And that allows the CEO to free up time to elevate and spend his or her time on the growth-oriented tasks. These are things like bringing in better customers, building and training the team, planning for profitable growth, getting investment if they need that. These are things that are really growing the company, and that's what the CEO is able to focus on.
Great. You know, it's interesting. I was actually coaching somebody once who worked for a nonprofit organization, and part of his responsibility was fundraising, and he had a certain fundraising goal. And it was interesting how I kind of got him to look at the elevating piece of this, because it wasn't so much about delegating as much as it was focusing on the things that were really going to bring him the bigger results, focusing on the things that are going to bring him bigger donors, because he was spending a lot of time, you know, having lunches and stuff with, you know, a donor that's going to do a, you know, $2,000 donation here, a $3,000 donation there, and then spending time actually making sure that he was clearing his inbox because his staff would kill him if he didn't respond quickly. So he's spending all that time. And meanwhile, sitting on his to-do list is the $20,000 donor that he needs to take out to dinner that he just felt like, I have to wait till I have a big block of time to figure out how I'm going to do that and how I'm going to approach this person. And we got him to kind of flip that, focus on the big stuff first and not the small ticket items, and then just to see what happens. And he actually met his fundraising goal within the first few months of working with me, and the following year increased what that requirement was going to be, increased the goal, and hit it. And it was just amazed at what that did for him, simply by getting off of having to control all the little stuff and focusing instead on the bigger stuff. And sometimes we have to delegate that little stuff in order to do that.
Yeah, that's a great example and great advice, Mark. And I agree. I mean, a lot of the little stuff can be delegated, even though it might not seem like it's possible. You know, I meet people a lot who they say, well, my day is so full, there's not possible for me to elevate. And then I'll say, well, you know, what are you doing today? What do you have on your list? And we'll go through a list and say, I can't possibly delegate this. I can't possibly delegate that. And that's really the expert mentality. And so what I challenge my clients to do is figure out something on their list that they can teach someone else how to do. And that's what a CEO does, is they figure out how they can take something that they couldn't possibly delegate and permanently delegate that type of work by investing the time to do a one-time training in somebody so that they can learn how to do that thing and can free up that time forever.
Yep, absolutely. And then not micromanage the person. Because that's the other thing. You really let go of it once you delegate it.
Yes.
So cool. Yeah, and so many people say, you know what, if I want something done right, I got to do it myself. Or it's quicker if I just do it myself than it is to explain to somebody else how to do it. And I think those are some limiting beliefs that really will limit your business dramatically. It's really about letting go, and letting go of some of our expectations and letting go of some of the hows, not the whats, but the hows, because there's different ways to get to the what. And I think that's probably a valuable lesson for life that I could certainly see as a life coach. It's all about letting go. And even the Buddhists say all suffering comes from attachment. So the more we're attached to, the more suffering we're going to have, and that includes in our businesses.
Yeah. So. And, you know, I think the reality of it is when someone says it's easier to just do it myself than delegate, that's true. And, you know, we have to appreciate that. But at the same time, if you don't invest the time now, and it will be a little more time this time, to train the person, you know, again, you're going to be always carrying the whole business into your two arms. And if that's what you want, that's awesome. But if you want to grow a bigger business, if you want to make more money and reach more people, then you have to learn to delegate that.
Great. So again, if anybody has any questions, the number to call is 646-716-9397. We've got about 10 minutes left in the show, so if you have any questions, feel free to call in and give Evan a run for his money here and ask him some really good stuff. I think he'll handle you quite well. So, great. So let me let me ask you, if people want, well, so when you work with somebody, what does that actually look like? How does when you work with somebody, how does a whole package or contract with you actually work, and what does that whole picture look like?
Sure. Yeah. You know, what I do is I teach people the skills like what we're talking about, so that they can make this transition from being an expert to being a CEO, so that they can grow their business so much faster, with more clarity about the direction and a lot less stress because they're not reinventing the wheel. And the best way to describe what I do is I call myself a personal trainer for your business, because it's a lot like the gym. You know, you go to the gym, you hire a trainer, you want to lose 30 pounds or whatever. Well, based on the trainer's knowledge of exercise science, he's going to show you the fastest way to get to your goal. And then he'll walk you through that week by week. Where you're doing all the heavy lifting, what the trainer is doing is three things. One, showing you that smartest plan. Two, teaching you new skills. And then three, holding you accountable. And with those three things, you're getting the results way faster than you ever could on your own. That was certainly the case when I hired the trainer that I mentioned earlier. And that's exactly how I work with my business owner clients. You know, typically we meet once a week for about an hour, and I walk them through a program that I put together for them to get them to their goal in the fastest and smartest way, and teaching them at each week along the way how to be a smarter CEO, how to learn the CEO toolkit and how to apply it. We do it one step at a time. So we meet, we look at the next step. My client has homework, a couple hours they'll do during the week, and we'll meet again the next week, see how did that go, what questions or challenges came up, and what's the next step. And I find that it's a really amazing way, very similar to what all the coaches who are listening do, I think, with their clients, to really transform the trajectory of a business. And,
absolutely.
And at the same time, my clients are learning the CEO toolkit, which they'll have forever.
Yeah, great. So, yeah, as you were saying that and as you described that in your workshop, I was like, oh, basically, you're a coach.
I am a coach.
Your area of expertise, you know. And I know a really great coach training program that can even enhance your skills as a coach that much more. But we could talk about that offline. And we actually have a caller with a question. The caller, the last four digits of your number are 6462. You are on the air on Mark My Words. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for having me. My question is, as a new business owner, I want to know how I can keep my clientele coming back. I mean, besides the results, I know that was one of the mistakes you said is make sure that you speak about your results. Is how do you make them feel like your product is something that they can't live without? I mean, I do personal shopping, and that can go up and down. So I was just wondering how I can continuously, you know, is it like, you know, coming out with an app or making, you know, being more social media presence or things like that?
Great question.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Evan.
Mm-hmm. So I think the place that I would start is advice that I got from a coach of mine, which is I would evaluate how your clients rate you right now on a scale of 1 to 10. I mean, just what would you think they would say? They marry you a 7 or you an 8? And then answer the question.
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
I think I have some good people that are continuously coming back, but like it's the new people that I am having trouble keeping on board is because they're new and I'm not sure if they're familiar with how it works. And I started off working for a big company and took my show on the road, so that's why I wanted to find out how I keep the newer people who this is like a new thing to them, like having a personal shopper is new to them.
Yeah, I think the answer is to deliver a ton of value. So the question that I would suggest you ask yourself is, what could you do so that all of your clients rate you a 10? And it's a no-brainer that they would rate you a 10. Because that's when they see so much value in you that, of course, they're going to want to keep working with you. So, you know, without getting into the details of your business, I would think about, are there different ways, different services you could offer, other things that you could be doing to be more helpful? How could you enhance what you're offering so that it's a no-brainer? Of course you're a 10, and it means of course they're going to want to keep working with you.
And I'm sorry, I have one more question, because as a salesperson, just in general with the background in sales, how do you I feel like people might feel like I'm always trying to sell them something with my other services, or do you think like in the old days, like you give something away so you can get some more in return and things like that? I'm just wondering, is that smart or is that something that you shouldn't do?
Can you be more specific? Like, is there an example that you're thinking about?
For instance, like I do things like I do locating services. So if someone's looking for something specific, I can find it for them. And I charge a fee locating it. But for some people, I won't charge a fee because I'll say, oh, well, if you give me an Instagram shout out or if you mention me on your Facebook, I feel like that return would be, you know, I might get more clients from that shout out because maybe they're more popular and they have a lot of followers. Do you think I should do that, or do you think that I should always just charge across the board and you know, as a person that needs to make the money, I feel like doing that helps with my marketing, so I don't have to pay for certain things. It's just free marketing because they have introduced me to their client, their followers and things like that.
Yeah, I think that sounds like a great idea to me. What I would say to generalize what you're talking about is, instead of always charging a fee for your service, offering some kind of an exchange or a barter. And if somebody has a lot of social media following and they can help promote you there, and that's valuable for getting new clients, that to me sounds like a great deal for you.
Okay, cool. So I just wanted to make sure that wasn't it was a smart move instead of, you know, working against what I was trying to do with my business.
Sure. No, it's a very good question. And if I also can add something from my perspective a little bit, too, I think that talk to your current customers or clients and ask them directly, how else can I support you? How else can I serve you? What else can I do to make your life better? And they will tell you. They'll tell you quite clearly, you know, it would be great if you could do this, if you could do that. And you can actually sit down and interview them and take notes and then see what the patterns are. You'll see that they're because you have a specific niche that you serve, right? So they're going to have a certain finite set of needs and desires. So you're going to hear a lot of the same things. You're going to hear a lot of themes coming up. You'll be like, wow, I talked to 10 people, and 6 of them said that it would be really helpful if I did this for them. Well, bam, then you have your answer. That's how you provide more value. You could also ask them, how would you rate the value of what I'm providing you for right now on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being it completely sucks and 10 being it's so awesome, you have no idea. And then they tell you, they say, oh, okay, it's about a 7. I think you're awesome. Great. What would have to happen to make that a 9? And I wouldn't go more than 1 or 2 points up, because otherwise it's just a huge stretch.
Uh-huh. Awesome.
So, great.
Thank you.
Well, good. You're welcome. Thanks for the call.
Thanks.
So, great. Great. Good answer. I mean, that was a very good question, too. I really like that. And
yes, definitely.
It's interesting. You know, it's interesting, too, how even with a business, you know, my focus, of course, is the softer stuff, you know, working mostly with coaches and knowing other holistic practitioners. This was something that's a little bit different. And it's interesting how the concepts are really exactly the same. I heard in your answer what coaches can apply with their business, and I was able to come from my perspective with coaches to allow her to be able to expand and get in touch with her client needs as well. So very cool.
Yes.
So great. So how can people reach you, Evan, if they want to implement some of this stuff tonight that you shared and they want to work with you? How can they reach you? How can they work with you? Where can they find you?
Good question. Yes, people can reach me through my website, which is www.ehadvising.com. That's ehadvising.com. And if you go there, you can click the How It Works tab and learn all about what it's like to work with me. You can also read my blog, where there's tons and tons of business advice. And one thing that I'd also love to offer all of your listeners is if they want a free copy of my ebook, they can get it on my website as well. Actually, can get it on my homepage. And it will talk more about this transition of from expert to CEO and how you can make that. The other thing that you'll get if you download the ebook is you'll be included on my twice-a-month bite-sized business tips. Twice a month I send out really simple and easy to implement advice for how to grow your business. And if that's something you'd like, happy to include all of your listeners on that.
Great. Excellent. And I've actually read your ebook, and I've also read a couple of your business tips since I started receiving them. And it's really awesome. Really helpful. It's engaging to read. I get a lot of that kind of stuff, and a lot of it I don't have the time to read, and I kind of read the stuff that grabs my attention. And your stuff has grabbed my attention, so I want you to know that. I also want my listeners to know that. Definitely worth a good read. So check out Evan's website. Give us the URL again.
Yeah, it's www.ehadvising.com. www.ehadvising.com.
Great. And if you missed that, if you go to my website, or you go to the Mark My Words website, just go to markmywordsradio.com, and as you click around on the archived episodes and the previous episode and whatnot, you will see the link to Evan's website to download the book there as well. So if you missed that, you can go to my website and find him just as easily.
Thank you, Mark.
Great. You're welcome. You're welcome. And thank you, Evan. I really appreciate your having been here with us tonight. And you really offered some really good pointers. And I would actually love to hear from listeners. What did you get out of tonight? What did you find the most helpful? Just hear your thoughts. So please feel free to do that. And again, just visit markmywordsradio.com and follow the links to be able to give that that feedback. So great, Evan. Any parting words from you for folks?
No, I mean, all I would say is that, again, the transition from expert to CEO, it's totally doable. Yes, I have a Harvard MBA, and it sounds fancy, but none of the stuff that I teach is actually that hard, to be honest. It's just different, and it's just something that if you want to grow your business, you've got to carve out a little bit of time, start chipping away at it, and start learning that CEO toolkit. And when you do, it's just really amazing. And I see this time and time again with my clients is that their businesses can really skyrocket and grow way faster than they ever have before because you're not reinventing the wheel anymore.
Yeah, great. Evan, thank you again for being on the show with us tonight. I really appreciate it. And it certainly, I think we accomplished the goal of helping people see that, yes, you can think like a CEO, and it's a little bit easier to do so than we may have thought. So thank you again, Evan.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting me, Mark. It's really a privilege.
Oh, you're absolutely welcome. And before we wrap, I just want to ask you to feel free to mark your words if you'd like. So like I said before, if you have any feedback for us that you'd like to communicate to the Life Coach Radio Network, you can visit us at www.blogtalkradio.com/Life Coach Radio Network and then click the follow button and send us a message. For feedback directly to me or to suggest a show topic, go to markmywordsradio.com, click the home contact button, and scroll to the bottom and fill out the contact form. I hope you enjoyed the past hour and that you found it engaging, enlightening, and stimulating. I look forward to speaking with you all again on the next episode of Mark My Words. So thank you for listening to Mark My Words. I'm Mark, and those are my words. Good night.